morning. Regardless of who it is that wins the upcoming presidential election on Tuesday, we're just a few short days away from picking the next president of our country. Naturally, the campaigns of Obama and McCain are in high gear, doing whatever they can in these short days to win more votes. And that final outcome will have an impact on us. It's not a small thing for us. However, in this last stretch of this campaign season, let's steer the attention away from political elections and think about a much higher kind of election. It's an election in which you are the chosen rather than the voter who does the choosing. Consider with me then what Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians 2. We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote that to the Thessalonian believers because what he said applies to all believers. If you plug yourself into the passage, and you should, then you have to realize that you, along with me, have won the election of God's grace. The victory of our salvation boils down to the certainty of two things. God has chosen you from eternity. God has claimed you through the gospel. It was a major deal on God's part, since he had nothing to work with. Nothing whatsoever as far as the human heart is concerned, yours and mine. We entered this world dead to God spiritually. We had an inclination only to reject him. God had to overcome our unbelief and do the miraculous when he gave us our faith in Christ. Simply put, you believe today and tomorrow because God decided to make it happen on the basis of him choosing you, not on the basis of you choosing him. God held his election from the beginning, God says, through Paul, before creation. That's when he cast his vote for you. And that vote determines everything that he does for you right now and into the future. He has planned out your entire salvation from beginning to end. When he made those promises of the Savior to come in Old Testament times, he had you in mind as one of the people who would profit from the life and death of Christ. When he sent forth the gospel in the New Testament era, he had you in mind as one of the people who would hear it and believe it all the way into heaven. Back to politics just for a minute. Political campaigns are generally based on who's the better candidate, who has better qualifications. Well, God's election of you was based on something different. God chose you and me for his kingdom because of this incredible love he had for us, an undeserved kind of love. Unlike presidential campaigns, God's election of you and me never would hang on the character issue. Even though our characters are severely flawed and our records are horribly tainted with sin, God nevertheless locked onto us as the constant object of his loving attention and making us the sure recipients of his forgiveness in Christ. Our text reassures us. God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Now we need to use this doctrine of election carefully. does not answer all the questions. It does not completely explain to our satisfaction why some people are saved and others are not. It simply states this fact, that your faith and your final salvation are the sure outcome of God's choosing. If we start to wonder or worry whether we are one of the elect or not, then we're missing the point. God did not reveal this doctrine of election to raise any doubts in your mind or anyone else's. Here's what we need to do with this doctrine. Remember that it fits the category of a gospel teaching, which means that we should use it the same way a gospel teaching should be used: for comfort, assurance, the strength to persevere. For example, if we are troubled by a sense that our faith is rather weak, or that doubts keep entering our minds, then we can latch on to the doctrine of election as the clear indication that God has chosen us, and that makes it sure. Or if we're troubled by the strong temptations, which do threaten to wear us down and pull us away, then we can latch on to the fact that God does not lose what He has chosen to save. Nor will He change His mind about the choice that He made. He will hold on to us because He has decreed it. That leads to His firm commitment, which is tied back to His steadfast love. Jesus said so in John chapter 10. "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of My hand." That sounds like victory promised, a cause for celebration. Christians have won the election of God's grace, and by a landslide. God, the greatest majority ever, has cast His vote for you, and no one can overrule that decision. Now add to that fact a second reliable truth: what God has chosen, He permanently claims and keeps for Himself through the power of the gospel, which not only works your faith but also preserves it until the very end. So on that basis, we can live each day, Reformation Day tomorrow, Election Day next Tuesday, Judgment Day at the very end if we're here, and every day in between, with a cautious optimism. Yes, cautious, because we still have our sinful nature, which is all too willing to and able to throw God's grace away. Every day needs to be one of you and me repenting of our sins, reclaiming God's forgiveness in Christ, and staying alert to what the devil is up to throw us off. But at the same time, we can still be optimistic, very optimistic, that God will get the last word, God will finish what He started with us, and bring us the final victory He has chosen for you and me, the same ones He has chosen for Himself in Jesus. Amen. Let us close this morning singing hymn 391, the first two stanzas of hymn 391.